bragging on Miss Tammy this morning back there about her kids. And I just want to share, if you don't mind, what I told you. You know, Randy does the kids back in the back every week, and Wednesday nights and Sundays mornings. And he was telling me, he brought up the Rodney and Tammy's kids. We were out there talking one night, and he goes, you know, I asked the kids questions about the Bible and said, do their kids know the Bible? They'll speak right up and answer my questions and know what it says. And he said, I can tell they're being taught the Word of God. So it's a great compliment to you guys. So I appreciate that, and teaching them the important things of life. So that's what it's about. Glad to see you tonight on this rainy Sunday evening. Some of you may have got a nice nap in today. Maybe some of you didn't. Maybe some of you need one. But I'm glad you're here. We're going to continue our message tonight about what we started this morning. I've got some more scripture I didn't get through, and I want to kind of finish some more scriptures. As you see on the screen, we're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this will be, I believe these are amplified versions. 2 Corinthians 4, and beginning, we'll do 14, 15, and 16. This is how they amplified. Talking about living by the power. And Bruce's songs, you're right on spot tonight with the message about your songs fit right on where I'm going tonight. Because we are supposed to live for the Lord, and we have that power through His Spirit to do that. Verse 14. Assure that He who raised up the Lord Jesus will raise up also us up also with Jesus and bring us along with you into His presence. Now that's good news. No, we have a resurrection waiting on us. He's going to raise us up to be in His presence forevermore. For all these things are taking place for your sake, so that more grace, divine favor, and spiritual blessing extends to more and more people and multiplies through the many. The more thanksgiving may increase and redound to the glory of God. Now look at verse 16. This is the key to this certain passage. Therefore, we do not become discouraged or utterly spiritless or exhausted and wearied through fear. Though our outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self is being progressively renewed day after day. It's the inner man that is renewed. How is it renewed? Through knowledge of God's Word. Through experiencing God. Through time spent with God. We're renewed in our inner man. We as Christians should be growing more and more. Deeper and deeper into things of God. This is why when you first get saved, you first find the Lord, you first start trying to do things right, the enemy comes like a wave against your life. To try to discourage you and get you off track before you get rooted. Because once you get roots stuck in the ground, they start growing and they start spreading. And you become mightier and mightier and mightier in the Lord. You become stronger and stronger. You start shaking stuff off that used to destroy you because you've been renewed inside. And you recognize your enemy and you know your enemy and you're prepared for your enemy. We are supposed to be renewed day by day in our inward man, growing in the grace of the Lord. You know, the Bible talks about don't do the things you did in your ignorance before you knew Christ, but do it differently after. You know, if you tell Bryce not to touch that hot stove and he goes over and touches it and gets burnt, you tell him not to touch it again, he'll probably learn. That was hot last time. I'm not going to do that no more. I learned that lesson. I touched that big square box, I get hurt. So we're supposed to grow in the things of God the same way. We learn. Once we know something is truth, then we start walking in it. If we don't walk in it, we're not going forward anymore. Going forward means I've learned it, God. I understand it. I'm going to start walking in what you've showed me day by day. Renewed, stronger day by day. You know, it's what revivals are really for, church revivals. And we're probably having one this year. We'll have a mini revival sometime this year. Get some other people in, and we're going to do that. The revival, you know what it's for? It's to revive us. It's to stir us back up again and get us fresh again, renewed again, get all that dead weight we've carried and get stirred up again and get excited about God again. That's what revival's for. It's not just to put a sign in the road and to have, you know, announcements. It's for us. It's to renew us that we come in. The thing I love about revival, I feel like I don't have no clock. I love that. It's kind of like the game of baseball. You know, baseball, what I love about baseball, it still has no clock. You've got to go 9 innings, 3 outs an inning before it's over. No clock. And so I love revival because I don't feel pushed to get out at a certain time. We just go till God's done. It helps me and it helps you. It refreshes all of us. And that's the great thing about it. We're to be renewed day by day. We're decaying on the outside. We know that unless the change of the Lord comes in our lifetime, we will continue on the outside to decay. But on the inside, we should be stronger and stronger and stronger than ever. That's why we don't fear death. That's why we don't fear what is to come. For we have been empowered inside to know who we serve and who's alive and who we're in. And that's why on our deathbed, we can look somebody in the eye and not without fear say, live your life for Jesus. Because I know, and I've been there, and it's a life worth living. Live it for Jesus. Next scriptures. This is 2 Corinthians 5:17. We've all heard this verse. 2 Corinthians 5, just one chapter over, and verse 17 says this. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. That's why I didn't match it. All right. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation. A new creation altogether. The old, the previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. So the old person has truly died. The old us is nailed to the cross. We don't do the things we used to do. We don't live the life we used to live. All that's past. We're a new creation. The newness of God has now come into our lives because of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the reason I've been preaching for so long, the last couple years, that grace more powerful than the law was for this very reason. We've got a living presence of God inside of us, leading us and guiding us. That's way more powerful. I mean, your mama can tell you all day long, don't you do that, son. Don't you do that, daughter. But if you don't have it on the inside, it's not near as powerful. But when you have it on the inside for yourself, you know, I used to go tell on myself. That's how stupid I was. I'd do something stupid and go tell my parents what I did because I didn't want to hold it in. I'd go confess. I mean, forget spotlights in the police department and don't this cold water look good? Are you dry and thirsty? You know? Forget waterboarding. I didn't need waterboarding. I confessed. I would go say, you know, I got in trouble and I did something. And I mean, I didn't say I confessed everything I've done. But I confess a lot of stuff I did because it was in here. I mean, there's stuff my parents wouldn't have found about. I'd go home and say. I mean, they probably would have found out because God probably showed them this great light or dream or revelation or something. But you know, you can't get by nothing when you got Christian parents. You know what I'm saying? And so, but I would confess some things. And the reason I would, because I had it on the inside. You know, I might could have stole a candy bar and got away with it. But in here, it bothered me. You know, that was God's operation inside me. That's way more powerful than the law. I wasn't worried near much about getting caught by the police or getting in trouble that way than I was what I had done. I'd done something against my moral nature that I knew was wrong. And that's a great test to see where we are spiritually. Does it bother us on the inside? Do we have enough of God's word on the inside that it bothers us? Because the old man should be dead. And we should be living that new, fresh life. And we can only live it through the power of His grace. Listening to His voice, leading us and guiding us and directing us. There's no reason anymore, church, as a born-again Christian, we should be living our lives bound by the old nature. No reason for it. The only reason we do that is because we desire to do that. And I'm preaching to me, too. I had several people this morning say their toes got stepped on hard, and most of those toes ain't here tonight. So praise God it was affected. I'm preaching to me too, that we want to do right or we don't want to do right. And God's not going to come in and make us do right, but He does lead us and guide us through His Spirit. And we don't listen, we pay the price. It's simple as that. And we can't blame the devil whenever we got the Holy Spirit telling us what to do. And we don't listen to it. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Don't do that, don't do that. Let your light shine, let your light shine. And we just keep going the opposite direction, just like Jonah did. When God spoke to him and told him to go preach, he went the opposite way. So many of us do that in our lives. We go the opposite way of where the Holy Spirit's leading us. And then we get in trouble and we get trapped. And we want to blame our environment or our circumstances or our weaknesses. Understand, we are weak in the flesh, but we are strong in the Spirit. We have the very resurrected Savior, the Bible says. The same Spirit that raised up Christ dwells in us. So how can I stay in error? How can I continue to walk down this road if I'm listening to the Holy Spirit? We can't if we're listening. It's when we don't listen, that's what gets us in trouble. And that's one thing we also need to teach our children as we're raising them. Listen to the Spirit inside of you. That's a check engine light for your life. Listen to it. There's a reason God's speaking that to you. Next scripture, please. Turn to Romans 8. You've got several scriptures to read here now in Romans 8. We're going to start with verse 4 in Romans 8. Romans 8, and we'll begin with verse 4. I think we'll go through like 10 or something like that. Once again, we're out of the Amplified Version, so it won't probably match your Bible, but it'll be on the screen for you. So that the righteous and just requirement of the law might be fully met in us who live and move not in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the Spirit. Our lives governed not by the standards and according to the dictates of the flesh, but controlled by the Holy Spirit. Church, there is hope for our lives to be led by the Holy Spirit if we want it. Just like anything else, if you're married in here, you've had arguments in your marriage. I don't care how good y'all are. And like Bruce said, you come here smiling the song. You may come in smiling, act like nothing's wrong. Perfect marriage. No perfect marriage. There's no perfect people. And when you have arguments at home and your wife tries to tell you something, you got a choice. You can get mad and refuse it. Get mad and argue back. Dismiss it. Or you can listen to it. And vice versa. In a marriage, there's always, we know two sides, and there's a little truth usually on both sides. But when we shut each other out and don't listen, we can't bring any healing to our relationship. If Melanie tells me over and over there's a problem, there's a need you're not meeting in my life, and I just ignore that over and over and over and over, I'm not allowing the marriage to properly function. Because my job is to hear and listen to her heart, and her job is to obey. So see, it all works out if it's functioning the right way. Either Melanie didn't hear me or she just don't care. Oh. Yeah. I was saying that my job is to listen to your heart and your job is to obey. So, and you should want to listen. Same with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to us all the time. But if we shut that power out and we refuse to follow the instruction and teaching of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can't benefit from what it offers. We just can't function properly. Once again, I'm talking to myself. All right, we're on verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh are controlled by its unholy desires, and they set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit are controlled by the desires of the Spirit, set their minds and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. So we have two choices to make as Christians. We satisfy God, or we satisfy the devil. We satisfy the devil through our flesh. We satisfy God through the Spirit. Our appetite, our desires, we're all going to have wrong ones. But we bring them under submission. You know, I love what 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, that to bring every thought unto the obedience of Christ, that anything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of Christ, bring that thought into the subjection of Jesus Christ. Capture it and bring it. You know it's never God when it goes against His Word talking to you. It's never God when you get that check in your heart that this isn't right. That's not, I mean, what I mean is not, you're not supposed to do those things. That's the Holy Spirit checking you not to do those things. We can justify all we want, us gratifying ourselves, but it only brings destruction and problems. And we could save so much more if we just would listen to the Lord. We can surrender to His presence. As you were singing your song tonight, just, you know, I surrender to you, God. I give it all. I surrender all to you. All to you. I told you this morning, I've been counting back the years a little bit. I guess because Christian's going off to college, you're having one of those moments of, okay, wow. And you start reflecting on all the mistakes you made. I made. No, I didn't make none. I'm talking about me. I can't speak for her mistakes. I mean, her not mistakes. My mistakes. I start reflecting back of all the time I wish I had back to do things differently. I wish I'd exercised more patience, more understanding. I wish I had done things just differently. You know, but you can't roll those years back. But you know, the reason I made so many mistakes and the reasons that things didn't always go right is because I didn't always follow the Holy Spirit. I let the flesh get in the way. I let my own desires get in the way. I let my own weaknesses get in the way. Instead of really allowing the Lord to lead and guide me. What? Oh, bless you, darling. I'm sorry. She got a broken neck, leg, and sneezing. Bless her heart. Bad shape. So, I've been thinking about all that. And how that if I would have just have listened more to God, I would have done things differently. So what do I do from this moment on? I start listening to God now. The best I can. See, every day is a new day. Every day is a fresh start. Every time the sun rises, a new beginning for you to do things differently. We can't change yesterday, but we sure can change today and tomorrow. And that's what we've got to focus on. God, I want to surrender my life today, beginning today, with you. The years go by so quick. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just hard to believe. I was having memories of our kids in the hot tub, the boy and the girl, Jamie and Christian, in the hot tub or the bathtub in the hotel at Myrtle Beach with the Jets. They were screaming like animals. Bless their heart, we turned bubbles on and they're freaking. We've gone from having them in the bathtub together, freaking over Jets in a tub, to one going to college and one driving. Man, where did time go? And so I've looked back and done some reflection and realized that I made my mistakes because I wasn't letting the Holy Spirit and the power of His grace always control my steps. I would let my temper go or my patience go or my ways go or, you know, just wouldn't spend time with Him like I wanted. My friend Bill has it right when he says the grandparents and parents are backwards. He says you ought to raise your kids while they're little and then go to work when you're older. Would that make more sense? Next scripture. Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason, without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that compromises all the misery arising from sin. We know sin brings misery, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and peace, both now and forever. See, the Holy Spirit brings us peace now and brings us peace forever if we'll follow it. And we need peace now. We need peace in our day-to-day walk. Peace of God. Just to rest and know it's okay. God, I'm in your hands. I love the line you in the song a while ago that said, let me feel your spirit again just to know I'm yours. You know, we talk about that sometimes, how we know we're the Lord's through salvation, but boy, it's nice to feel His presence. And when you go a while and don't feel His presence, that's a lonely place. It's great to feel, lets you know, like your song, that you're okay. God, I'm yours still. Though I've not felt you in a long time, I'm still yours. I know we had someone that left the church, been gone for years now, but they'd come for a while and left and then came back and came to the altar one Sunday and we prayed and they told me after service, said, I was so afraid that I wasn't going to feel His presence when you laid your hands on me. But said, I still felt it. I know I'm still His. That's a wonderful feeling to know. that His presence doesn't leave you. It doesn't forsake you. And I want to feel that presence more than just in a moment of crisis and when I need it. I want to experience His presence whenever I call upon it. Melon made that point, I think, a couple months ago now up here, how she knows she carries that Lord, the presence of God with her, and that at any moment she can call upon the Lord and it show up. If a crisis arises at work, she can just begin to call on God and that anointing shows up. That's abiding in the presence of God, carrying it with you more than just Sundays, carrying it with you everywhere that you go. You're at a gas station and the Lord checks you, that guy beside you, something's wrong with him. Go talk to him. But you got the boldness and the discernment to go talk to him. Say, what's wrong with you? I feel something's wrong with you. Something going on? And right then, right there, call upon the Lord and see what happens. Carrying that presence with you. We have that power of grace in us, not just for our own victory over sin, but to impart to others, to help them through their struggles and through their problems and through their storms. We carry that all the time. The power of His grace is not something, church, we lay down and pick up. It's something that we should be carrying all the time with us. Verse 7. Is that right? Yeah. That is because the mind of the flesh, with its carnal thoughts and purposes, is hostile to God. It does not submit itself to God's law. It cannot. So what happens? We're constantly fighting. Our flesh is fighting against the Spirit. And until we surrender to the Holy Spirit, our flesh will always win that battle, every time. Church, we are in no competition for the devil in our own flesh. But through the power of His Spirit, we can be strong. And we have that indwelling us all the time. I find myself walking in storms of weakness and doubt and fear. And I get mad at myself. Why am I doing this? Why am I allowing this? When I know who lives inside of me. Why am I not using the power of grace God's given me to get out of this? And to get out of this fear and this bondage and this worry or this cycle of sin, whatever it is. God, I've got the power of You to break out of that. I don't have to stay here. That's where I was when the devil had me. But old things have passed away. The old flesh has passed away. I'm no longer that man. I am redeemed forevermore. I have a new creation in Christ. Why am I allowing myself to be where the devil had me? I'm not that person. And He's not my Father anymore. Break that cycle through the power of His grace. We can't please God in the flesh because it's hostile against Him. Verse 8, so them that are living the life of the flesh, catering to its appetites, its impulses of carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to Him. But you are not living the life of the flesh, you are living the life of the Spirit. He's talking to the saints. If the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directs and controls you, but if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. He does not belong to Christ, nor is not truly a child of God. This just goes back, people don't want to hear this, but it just goes back to how it is. A tree is known by its fruit. If you are not producing a life of Christ, what seed is really in there? We can't produce anything different than the seed that's in us. Period. We inherit some of those seeds, don't we? You got the seed you inherit from your family, the stubborn seed, the temper seed, and you know, all them seeds, and you know, I'm like my mama, and I can't change. I'm just like it. You know how I am? I'm like my mama. When you see me like this, leave me alone. I'm like my mama. It passes down. We used to be like our father, the devil, before the blood was spilled. And once Jesus rescued us, we don't continue to act like the devil. We walk in the things of God. Our heart is open to the things of God. What our desires used to be on a weekend should change when we're born again. The things we used to want to participate in, we now step back and say, that's not who I am now. I was that person. but I'm not anymore. How do we break that? I see so many Christians, and I know they love God, they give their lives to the Lord, but they just stay in a lifestyle of just kind of doing what they want. I'm like, how do they do that? Because they're allowing their flesh to rule over their spirit. They're giving more authority to the flesh man than they are the Holy Spirit. Period. They're letting their flesh win. Flesh, you win. I'm going to let you guide and lead me. I'm going to do what I want to do. God understands. I'm just going to do it. And then we come back later and we see the damage has been done, because sin always causes damage. And we see the path that it leaves. And we reflect, if I'd only just listened to the Lord, if I would have just listened, where would I be now? Now, we make mistakes and we'll continue to make a lot of mistakes. I'm talking a little deeper than just making mistakes. I'm talking about when people refuse to allow the Lord to really lead their lives. They're saved on Sunday, and that's about it. They make an appearance in church, but don't live their lives that way. If you met them at Walmart, you wouldn't even know they were a Christian. Talk about those kind of folks that hide behind a name, but don't allow the Spirit to really lead their lives. I'm talking about things like praying, you know, things like living like the Word of God says to live and not be ashamed of it, not compromise it. It's okay, church, we're different. We're supposed to be different, and we will be persecuted for that difference. They will make fun of us. The Bible is clear when it says to count it joy when you're persecuted for my name's sake. I suffered. If you carry my cross, you go suffer too. Joy when we're called. You know, growing up as a Christian kid in school, I got made fun of a lot. I mean, I did. People made fun of me at school because I was a Christian, because I wouldn't do things. Guys would say, don't tell jokes around James like that, and laugh and stuff. You know, he's a Mr. Christian guy. I was talked about because I didn't do certain things, go with certain girls. I was talked about. It's all right. That was joy. That was a witness. That was a testimony. Was it hard? I'm sure it was hard. But I'm glad I had that testimony. The Bible says that a good name is better than riches. Can't buy a good name, man. You can buy a fancy car and a fancy house. You can't buy a good name. A good name comes from the character of how you live your life. That's why it's important when we mess up, we go to God and we don't let that just continue. We get it gone, and we let God get it out so we can move forward in the Lord and have our inner man renewed day by day. Church, if we've been saved very long, we should be stronger than we are. We should be stronger than we was. You know, you've been coming here 4 or 5 years, I guess, now. Really? Man, time flies. Been that long, really? Wow. Yeah, going on 7 years. Don't get no 7 year itch. 7 years. And I know you've grown from the first day you walked in this church. You've grown in your knowledge of what you understand and what you know. You've grown in your faith, in your witness. You're more bold than you were when you first came here. On the platform, you're more bold. We're supposed to grow and get deeper. We never stop learning, church. There are some folks you can't teach knowledge to. I could preach in 100 churches that had a certain doctrine, and man, they don't want to hear nothing else. Preacher, all we want you to preach about is a streak of gold, and don't go no deeper than that. Really? You don't need them right now. I mean, they're wonderful to think about, but if that's as deep as you want to go, you have a miserable life. Because you got a long way to go before you see those streets of gold. A lot of kids to raise, a lot of arguing with your wife and husband, a lot of bills to pay. My Lord. We should be so open to hearing what God says, and that comes by the leading of the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to teach us what He wants today, right now. I've been in church my whole life. I've seen several different movements come through in my lifetime. You know, when I was little, wasn't real big when I was little, more big when my mom was a young person. But even when I was little, tent revivals were still kind of relevant when I was little. I'm talking about back in the early 70s. Tent revivals, well, that's not relevant now. I'm not saying people can't feel a tent, but you just don't see that. I could put a tent up all day long here in Statesville and put a big revival sign out and probably ain't going to get a whole lot of people. Not now. Not unless a big name come to town. And the big names are dead, just to be honest. They had tent revivals. Most of them are gone. So we move beyond that. You know, then we went through a period of the 80s, especially, where the church got into a prosperity doctrine. The wealth teaching. Some of that's still going on. But that was a big move in the 80s. The prosperity gospel, they called it. You know, talking all about what God could bless you with and name it, claim it kind of deal. And I believe God wants you blessed and all that. But, you know, that never gelled with me, the prosperity. That's never gelled inside. Something not right about that. Well, that's the only focus. You know, then we've actually gotten back more recently into a grace message. And you're hearing a lot of ministers now, if you turn it on and listen, begin talking about grace. Ones that used to believe in works are now teaching grace. The true grace of Jesus Christ and what that is. So we go through change and we go through movements. But if we stay stuck in one place, we miss out on what God has for us tomorrow. I love my kids. I love them when they were small and they're growing up. And I know I'm talking out both sides of my mouth right now. But I would not want Christian 6 years old again. Not me the age I am now, I mean. If I was back hurt, you know, roll it back 20 years, maybe. But not. I'm glad she's where she's at. I'm glad Jamie is where he is at. Hallelujah. I'm glad that Ashley is where she is at. I wouldn't want to go back again to room 232 at Davis Hospital and start all over. My Lord have mercy. I wouldn't want to do that. I realized that was a wonderful season of our lives that is now gone. But we're in a new season. We're going to be having a college daughter. And we have a driving son and almost a middle school other daughter. So each season changes. And it's just as rewarding as the season was yesterday. But you know what happens if I just stay focused? Poor Christian. And all I do is I'm in some kind of dark room with the shades pulled down and some kind of blues music playing. And I got baby pictures out and I'm sucking my thumb like a crazy man reflecting back on my daughter. I snapped. I can't enjoy today if I'm so focused on yesterday. It's okay to reminisce. It's okay to have memories. But if I'm so focused on Christian, I remember this. And I talked to Melanie when she got to college. I remember when Christian, I so miss Christian. I so miss Christian. Christian comes home to visit. Christian, I so miss you when you were little. Christian, Dad, hello, boyfriend. Oh, sorry. Don't you hear about my life now, today? Spiritually, we stay so stuck sometimes in yesterday or a message that we only have heard that we don't allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into anything deeper or more relevant for where we're at now. Don't be afraid to grow. Man, I hear preachers say, boy, I tell you what, this is what I preach and I don't change. And I understand we don't change core doctrines. We don't change burial, resurrection of Jesus. We don't change that. But my Lord, if you're not going to change anything, go drive the car you drove 40 years ago and wear the same suit and tie. Remember them old corduroy plaid pants and that tie that wide long? Go put that back on. Go get the TV you used to watch. Have your kids change the antenna with holding the ears this way. Go back to that. We don't go back to nothing else, but when it comes to things of God, we stay stuck. And church, we need to hear God's voice today, fresh. When Linda had that accident in Oklahoma, Bruce had to have God then, not yesterday's God. He needed the God of Oklahoma right then on that plane. God, I'm calling you now. I need you to show up now. I know you blessed me 20 years ago. You bless me and my family. God, you've done a lot of things, but Lord, I need you now. Right now to save my wife. We must allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into those places. And not be afraid to follow. And not be afraid to go. If God shares revelation with me or opens my knowledge to something new, I'm going to share it with the church. I'm not stuck in one thing. God, give me daily manna. Speak to me every day and show me where you want me to go. Next verse.
If Christ lives in you, although your natural body is dead by reason of sin and guilt, the Spirit is alive because of the righteousness that He imputes to you. What's Paul saying? Though that I've died out to sin, and though my flesh has died out to sin, the Spirit in me is alive. And it's that Spirit that leads you and guides you. Church, it's that Spirit that tells you no and tells you don't go and tells you to stop. It's that Spirit that leads you into all truth because it's a living force inside of you, the Spirit of Almighty God. Listen to that power of grace that lives in you. That's why it's more powerful than the law. It's an active Spirit in you, God telling you, this is wrong. Don't walk this way no more. I've delivered you of that. You don't have to stay bound to that just because you're still in the flesh. I've given you help, a counselor, an advocate, a strengthener, as we read this morning. I've given you all those things to empower you to live over the power of sin. We'd be surprised how much more victory we'd have if we really would follow the Holy Ghost. And listen to it, I mean. Really listen to it. Because what happens is, if we allow the Holy Spirit to govern our lives, it supersedes the flesh and overtakes that authority. It swallows it up. You may be so weak in your life right now. You may have a lifestyle or a habit or a stronghold or an addiction, something that's got you so bound that you think there's no hope for it to ever change. But if you begin to really allow and listen to the Holy Spirit and the power of grace in you, you will find it will supersede that stronghold and that authority in your life now. Because every knee has to bow at the name of Jesus. Everything. Next scripture, please. For the grace of God, His unmerited favor and blessings, has come forward, appeared for the deliverance. Look at this. Go back. Sorry. It has appeared for the deliverance from sin. It's come forward. Grace has come forward for the deliverance from sin and the eternal salvation for all mankind. His grace came to deliver us from sin. We know we're great about preaching. You know, we're redeemed, we're saved, delivers from sin, we'll go to heaven. But it's more than that. It's deeper than just going to heaven. He's delivered us from having to obey and listen to sin. That's what He really delivered us from. You know why? How many times you heard us talk that what happens when you're saved, Jesus comes in, removes the sin nature, and replaces it with His nature. Some of you that's really been born again, you made a complete contrasted way of life. You live totally different than you did before. Why? Because you've got the sin nature. That sin nature has been removed, and now His nature lives inside of you. And that's the biggest nature you listen to. I'm God's child now. That's who I listen to. That's who I follow. That's who I serve. He's delivered us from sin. So we walk that way. We walk in deliverance from sin. We walk in that power. And the only way we can do it is surrendering to His Holy Spirit. This is the last verse I have, I believe. These last two verses. Titus chapter 2, verse 12. Little book of Titus. It, the word it, is talking about grace. If you go back before, it's talking about grace, the verse before. It, we're going to say grace, has trained us to reject and renounce all ungodliness, worldly, passionate desires, to live discreet, temperate, self-controlled, upright, devout, spiritually whole, lives in this present world. Grace teaches us how to deny and overcome those passions that we can live in this present world a life pleasing to God. That's the power of grace. It teaches us. See, if you're saved, okay, I'll take Ashley for example, because Ashley, even though she is young, she has had a real experience with the Lord. And I do not have to tell Ashley when we're at Walmart, I don't have to tell her, now look, you don't steal anything in here. If you steal, you're getting in trouble. I don't have to tell her that. Why? In here tells her that. The power of God's grace trains Ashley to reject that kind of behavior. She knows what to do and what not to do because God's in there. I don't have to tell her, don't steal. I don't have to tell her. No. I don't have to tell her, don't go eat that banana and leave the peel on the floor. That's the same as stealing. She knows. She automatically rejects that. See, when we have the power of grace really living in us, it trains us to renounce the world. It teaches us to deny ungodliness. I don't have to have somebody telling me, don't do that and don't do that. This does that. His presence leads you. You know because of who lives in you. God's a constant reminder of what you do and what you don't do. It teaches us to reject. Is there another verse or is that it? Okay. Go back again. Let's read it again. Go back just one slide. Close that in Titus 2 again. Look at this. Grace has trained us to reject and renounce all ungodliness and worldly passionate desires, to live temperate, self-controlled, upright, spiritually whole in this present world. That's the power of grace. Just start listening to it. You won't go wrong. You won't go wrong. Am I not right, Sam? The Holy Spirit in you teaches you how to live. You know, don't you? Mama ain't got to tell you no more. You know because you've got it for yourself. See, grace is not some flip term that we can do what we want. Grace empowers us to do what God desires. We're going to still mess up. We're going to still fail. But with the power of grace, if we'll listen to it, we'll get off that course and back on the right road. God, I'm wrong, and I know it, and I'm sorry. I want to be over here. I'm tired of being here. Church, I've been on the wrong road throughout my life many times. I've gotten in seasons and bad times in my life. And it's a bad place to be. And I'm going to tell you, even in ministry, brother, there is times I have prayed with you, son. Lord, let me feel your spirit. I want to feel your spirit for me. Not for the church. Don't Bruce shouting. God, I want to shout. Give it to me tonight. I want to hear, I want to feel you from me. We all get in those bad places, those bad ruts. How do we go forward? We start trusting the power of His grace. And I'm going to tell you, when you begin to realize that you can walk in victory over the power of sin, you don't have to stay there no more, it liberates you. And it's not, now listen, I'm not talking about out of fear going to hell either. I'm talking about that the other extreme teaching that teaches, you know, you do this, you go to hell. I ain't talking about that. I still believe grace keeps us forever. Keeps our soul forever. There are some people who live their lives every day wondering if they're going to go to hell or heaven. I'm talking about Christians wondering if they did enough to go to heaven. Grace is enough. But to live in a victor over in this world, we need to trust and follow the Holy Spirit. It gives us power over sin. I remember back in the day as a young man at Food Line, I'd be stocking shelves. And y'all would think it's just so funny and weird. I know you are. You'll think it's stupid. But there were times, this is when I first really started working in ministry. I was 18, 19, 20 years old. And I'd be stocking shelves and working the grocery store, and a lot of these women would come in there, you know, especially summertime, and let's just say you could tell they were women. And they would come in. Man, I remember. This is for you, Melanie. Wink, wink. I remember. There were times I would actually start praying right there. I mean, I would just start counting my breath, just praying, because to keep my mind focused on things I should, not on things I shouldn't. Not chasing her around the whole store after she found the canned tuna. Need some help. And there were times that I would actually begin to pray. Now, it worked sometimes, but a lot of times I'd rather watch her than pray. So I just stopped praying. This is what I'm talking about. This goes back to which one do we really want working in our lives. You know, oh God. God, help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me, help me. Ma'am, you find everything you need? It's which one we want controlling us, really. And if we want the flesh controlling us, that's what we'll follow. But if we really want the power of His grace directing our steps, we will surrender to that and say, Lord, I want You. God, I truly want You guiding me in my life. There is power in His grace, church. Trust it and follow it and believe in it. And begin to walk in it. And let grace operate like it's supposed to in your life. Any comments or any questions tonight? Anything on anybody's heart before we close service? Yes, Ms. Greer. Okay, we'll close out in prayer and pray for your dad. Yes, Jeannie. Liver failure all this week. Wow. Lift those families up. I went to visit someone today I worked with years ago at Food Line. His dad passed away, and it was Parks. I went to see him today, and he's really tore up. Carrie is. Carrie lost his dad. A few of y'all know Parks Alexander. He was 79 years old. He passed away about a week ago. Lived up in West Statesville. My dad and him worked together years at Penny's, and I worked with his son at Food Line. We were really good friends, and he lost his dad. Found him, he had some lung cancer, and he also had COPD from all the years of smoking. And he was on his couch at home and passed away on the couch, which I told Carrie is a great blessing. He was at home. He was on his couch. He wasn't somewhere else. His wife's in the kitchen. Been married 52 years. His wife was in the kitchen, and she heard some moaning, and then he was gone. So I want you to remember that family too. Carrie's, I went over today to see him, and he was over to his dad's house, and he's having it rough, having it real rough. They were very close. So just keep that family. Yes. Yeah, my Uncle Alan. Is he at Iredale? This is my grandpa, Minton's brother. He is a man of God, and quite a bit of preaching through the years himself. And knows the Lord, so we know where he's going to be, that's for sure. But I know he's an hour, I'll go try to go see him tomorrow. Yes, darling. Did it get postponed? Okay. Anybody else? Well, let's stand on our feet. Let's pray for these very, very serious very serious needs. I tell you, a lot of people are suffering, church. A lot of people are suffering. Now, every day we should be so thankful we are in the condition we are every day. Lord, for every need in this place that was raised, for all those suffering from kidney failure to heart disease to having surgeries awaiting on them, to things removed, to things need to be fixed, Lord, to sometimes hopeless situations, I pray for peace. I pray for strength for every family member facing those giants, for those patients that are laying there maybe in fear, laying there just so scared and so unsure and don't know what's going on. God, just visit them. Speak to them. Show up in a mighty way and wrap your arms around each one of them and let them know it's okay. I'm here. I am here. It's all right. We all need to hear that from you from time to time, Lord, that you're just here. We ask every need that we put before you, that you go and you move in the way that you're going to move, Lord, upon these lives, and that you bring healing, you bring peace, you bring resolve, you bring comfort, you bring strength, and that all things be done for your glory. We thank you that we are here today, and we stand here before you, and we thank you for all of our blessings. Through all of our failures and through all of our sin, God, you still love us, you still bless us, your favor still on us, we are still your children by grace. That is amazing to me, Lord, that you love us so much that through all of our disappointing times to you, you are faithful to us. Thank you that when we call your name, you always answer. You never turn a deaf ear. And we call your name for all these needs tonight, and that you move in a special way for each one. Bless each one as we go our separate ways, and bless our week, and let us shine that light for you in all that we do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you have a night offering tonight to give, just come do that, and we won't hold you up any longer tonight. Just come put that in the offer plate up front, and we will appreciate that. God bless you. Have a wonderful week this week.